Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She has a health pet peeve. She says if you lose weight, buy smaller clothes. Walking around in clothes three sizes too big doesn't celebrate all you've worked for. Jessica Labby, our co-host, says she has a health pet peeve about people thinking that just because something is labeled organic, that it's good for you. Mike Clark, our producer, wishes there weren't labels on food so he wouldn't have to feel bad about what he eats. All in all, this is one interesting bunch. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Hello, everybody. We are back in the studio, and today we have a special guest, radio celebrity Dr. Alan Miner. Welcome, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, everybody. Great to be with you today.
He's coming all the way from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we got him up bright and early to talk with us about some of the things he talks about on the radio. People tune in every week to hear this really popular radio show about health and wellness. It's called Ounce of Prevention, right, Alan?
Yeah, that's right. We're on Saturdays here in New Mexico.
Now, I want to start off by asking you some personal questions. Can we do that?
Uh-oh. Beware of that.
Of course.
Well, and seriously, one thing that's really unique with wellness chiropractors especially is their lifestyle choice. And I'm just curious, Dr. Alan, when was the last time you took an over-the-counter or prescription medication?
Probably college, undergraduate college. So that would be roughly 17 years ago now.
Wow. So what kind of medications in your medicine cabinet?
We don't have a medicine cabinet, and we don't have medications in our house. We have things like fish oil and an adjusting table, and we have some arnica.
Yeah, we have arnica.
But that's about it. And we have Band-Aids. We have hydrogen peroxide. We have three small children, all under the age of four. So, you know, there's definitely a fair share of bumps and scrapes and bruises. But, you know, we don't tend to look for medication. You know, if somebody really injured themselves and was in a great deal of pain, then I think we'd probably go that route. But outside of that, it's just not part of our lifestyle.
So, Alan, you have three children under the age of four. You know, most kids have had an antibiotic or, you know, had some type of medication through mom in labor. What type of life have your children had with pharmaceuticals?
You know, none of our children have ever even sat foot or stepped into a hospital. We had all three at home.
Wow.
We did home births in water. And so, you know, none of them have been vaccinated. None of them have had a medication. You know, we get our fair share of colds, which is just part of how we develop our immune system naturally, especially when our kids get into school. And if they have a fever, we let it ride, and usually within a day or so, our children are done with the cold. And so that's how we're doing it. Just the basic belief and concept that your body is very well equipped to heal and repair itself and defend itself. And, you know, we don't really fall to that default of always looking for something to put in our body to try to regain health. Our attitude is, what if we are sick, what was happening in our environment that lowered our defenses, that lowered our immune system, and allowed that germ or that bug to take hold.
One thing I love about what you're saying, Alan, is that this core belief system that we as wellness chiropractors have and our patients have, it's not an isolated occurrence. You know, sometimes I feel like I talk about our lifestyle and our family's lifestyle, and people could easily look at it as luck. Oh, well, you've just been lucky. Your kids haven't needed an antibiotic, or, you know, you've been able to avoid a hospital visit. And really, when you talk to chiropractors throughout the country, your story and my story is the way that it is. And our patient's story is that way. Being able to avoid pharmaceuticals to a large extent is not so much luck. It's really a belief system.
It's a belief system and just basic choice.
Yeah.
You're right. I think that most chiropractors, if they were in a situation where a pharmaceutical was needed, we wouldn't hesitate if that was what was best for our kids. But most of the time, I think we recognize that that's not what's best.
So yesterday, Alan, I was in the office and I was having a conversation with patients about the concept of innate intelligence. And I've heard you talk about that on your radio show. Can you explain to our listeners what that is?
Sure. Just the basic concept that your body knows what to do. We don't have to consciously control 99.9% of the functions in our body. So, you know, we don't have to think about our immune system functioning or making new red blood cells. We don't have to think about digesting breakfast right now. Our body does that, and it's through the function of our nervous system, our central nervous system, that our body coordinates that innate intelligence, that power, that life flows over the spinal cord and nerve supply to every cell and tissue in our body. So that's really the true foundation of health, is if our body has the ability to just communicate to itself, it can better adapt, better repair, better heal, and we end up with healthier people.
You know, that's so true. And I think a lot of people have a misconception about chiropractic as being completely spinal focused.
I always did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't understand it at all until I met you two.
Or bones, you know, maybe I think people think we're bone doctors and
right.
Maybe something pops and that's about it. But yeah, it's so much bigger than that. As anybody who's ever had, you know, an upper cervical adjustment can attest to, I mean, just when that power is turned on, when that adjustment happens, it's a lot more than just a bone popping.
I have this young girl under care, Grace, who's autistic. And I tell you, I can talk to her and she can't look at me. She doesn't speak much. And I'll adjust her upper neck. And you literally can see the lights go on. You can see her eye focus change. And literally within moments after the adjustment, she'll look at me. And you can tell there's a connection that happens.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's incredible. And, know that as chiropractors that the power gets turned on. But I can see it in her eyes every time.
That presence, huh? It is. It's the connection's a perfect word. It's like all of a sudden they can focus in the... We get to take care of several autistic kids as well. And yeah, there's just that consciousness, that connection, that presence that comes back in. I think they get so lost in their own mind, in their own world. And that's priceless for a parent to be able to get that child to look in their eyes for a few minutes to connect is priceless.
It's interesting, once you can help a patient get over that crisis that they come in with, you know, the pain or the condition that's really captivating their life. If you can get them through that crisis, usually what people will say long-term with wellness adjustments is that they just feel more right. They feel less cloudy. They feel more energetic. They feel more connected. And I certainly have noticed that with my own adjustments over the years. There's just a palpable difference with how you can feel connected. And that is the manifestation of that power that we're talking about, that innate intelligence that runs our body.
You know, I think there's a big chasm between even how chiropractors practice and how patients and people use chiropractic, because you're right, so much of it is initially related to a symptom, to a pain, and a lot of people just, they go to a chiropractor, they get adjusted, the pain goes away and chiropractic's great, or the pain didn't go away and they think chiropractic doesn't work. And a lot of chiropractors are happy living in that world too. But you're right, when you jump over that and it gets into somebody going through wellness care, the adjustment's a lot different than, there's a different focus, there's a different purpose than pain relief. It's about keeping your body connected, about keeping life and power flowing back through your body. And that's the single thing we hear reported back most is, you know, when I get adjusted, I feel better. I have a better sense of well-being. And it's right back to what you're talking about, Dr. Jen.
That is right on. You know, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will hear more from radio celebrity Dr. Alan Miner.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Like you, Alan, we have a lot of chiropractors come from around the country to observe our practice. We had two in the office yesterday, and they talk about how the culture feels different in the practice. You know, how there's such a positivity, how people seem happy. They see entire families. They see children. It's not about people who are necessarily in pain or who are in a negative place. It's really a culture of healing. And I think the reason behind that is the majority of our patients, like you, Alan, have gotten through that crisis. You know, we have something like 85, 87% of our patients have been with us 3 years or longer. You know, and those people obviously don't keep coming because they have a pain or condition that we're fixing for them. They come back because they see how when they get their power turned on regularly, they can feel and function at their best. And so when you have an office full of people in that place, it's amazing how it just feels different in the practice. And, you know, I've seen videos of your practice, Dr. Allen, and I've felt that same feeling from your practice.
You know, there's a very clear distinction between true preventative healthcare and early detection. And what we're practicing is true prevention, you know, not waiting till something happens and then being reactive. The idea is to create an environment where a body can heal at its full maximum potential. That's different than, you know, a mammogram or a colonoscopy, which, you know, we're looking to find things early so we can intervene and do something about it. Medicine tends to call that preventative medicine, but it's not. It's an entirely different category. That's early detection, and there's some benefit there.
Right, a mammogram never actually made you healthier. You know, you don't create health from a colonoscopy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, you don't walk out of the office actually with healthier cells because of it.
I feel worse when I come back from a colonoscopy. I don't know. It doesn't make me feel better.
Well, and there's a negative feeling put around it. And so
you
much.
Think?
So, well, and to be serious, so much of medicine is fear based. You know, it's fear that your body is not capable, that your body cannot heal, that your body has disease. And what I love about wellness, true wellness and true preventative care, like you said, Alan, is that you're empowered that your body is strong, that your body is capable of being healthy. And, you know, once you have that belief, then it's easier to make more and more lifestyle choices that support your body.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You probably see this in your practice. Once somebody starts getting adjusted, how often then they start a new exercise program, or they're interested in making dietary changes, or they stop smoking, or if they've been in an unhealthy relationship, or they have a job they hate. It's interesting how often those things change, because it spills over, I think, wellness into every part of our life. And as we get more connected, some of those things that are bringing stress in different ways, whether it's a physical or an emotional stress or a chemical stress, it's easier to start to make changes in those areas of a person's life.
Well, so much of, you know, we call it subluxation. Remember that, Mike?
I do, yes. Now I know that term well.
Can you tell me what it is?
I still can't spell it, but.
So can you tell me what it is?
Yeah, it's when your spine gets compressed, right? It compresses the nerves in your backbone.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Of course, that's a layman's explanation of it. I know that.
Well, and what happens with subluxation is, It's a decrease in power. So you can think of it as like a dim light bulb. You know, sometimes that light bulb can go down so slowly that you don't even realize your body's not at its peak. And so sometimes it's not even until that power starts to get turned on that you realize how you're supposed to feel or how you're supposed to function. And I see it all the time. Once people get just that bit more energy or motion in their body, or they just feel more clear in their head, then it's easier to make smart choices. You, like you said, Alan, you have more of the mind share to start exercising. You want to start eating healthier. It's an upward spiral that starts to happen.
Yeah, most definitely. And ultimately, it's all quality of life we're after. And it's so, I mean, that's why we named our show what we did, and everybody knows that saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's so much easier to keep healthy cells healthy than to wait until there's a disease or an illness and then try to regain health. Takes so much more energy and time and effort. And just, you know, most people now have seen their grandparents or parents age, and I don't think any of us want to spend our last 10 years in a nursing home. We often joke about we'd rather spend the last 10 years on a cruise ship than a nursing home, but a lot of that comes back to decisions people are making in their 20s and 30s.
Well, and even going back to the far other end of that at birth, you know, Alan, you guys have a brand new baby girl. How old is Giselle now?
She was born the 25th, so she's about 5 weeks old.
Oh, so wow. You haven't even gone to sleep yet today. What are you talking about?
Up five times last night.
That's wow. Now, with Giselle, how old was she when you first checked her spine?
Actually, she was still in the water. We hadn't pulled her out. Which is interesting because, you know, when you do a water birth, you think you got to get them out of the water so they can breathe, but our midwife was explaining, no, she's still attached to the umbilical cord. So when she was in the water, you let her float up for a little while, and I was checking her in the water. And, you know, fortunately, only our first, Landon, where we had a pretty long labor of about 30 hours, he was the only one that really was born with a subluxation. Our two daughters had very easy deliveries, and you know, they really didn't. I've checked their spine several times, but actually Giselle just had her first adjustment yesterday. We probably checked her twice each week, but she just hadn't needed an adjustment until that point.
That's really cool. Yeah, I remember when my first child was born, Max, he got placed on my chest. It was a home birth as well. And my husband said to me, "What are you doing?" I mean, this is seconds after birth. He said, What are you doing? And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And I looked down and my hands were on Max's neck. And I said, "Oh, I'm checking his spine." I mean, it was even subconscious, and like Landon, he needed an adjustment, which, you know, what a blessing to be able to have your power fully on at birth. Because, you know, even a water birth, you know, there can be maybe the position that was in the womb, there could still be subluxation. But you think of these kids who've had C-sections where they're literally pulled out from a small opening, kids who've had forceps or suction cut births.
The whole thing looks traumatic to me. I'm sorry.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
No doubt.
There's neurological compromise oftentimes. And then those are the kids that we see that don't latch well, that have colic, that have ear right. infections, that are sick, that, you know, all those subsequent issues that come along. And Jenny's right. What greater gift than to just have that potential, that life flowing through a child's body so they can come into this world and, you know, start growing up.
Well, and like you, Alan, I've had the opportunity to check a lot of newborns for subluxation. And I would say, if I had to estimate, maybe about half of them need an adjustment when I check them shortly after birth. Would you say that's accurate for you?
It's a little higher for us. But most of the babies we see are still born in hospitals. And so I kind of attribute just that. I think there's a greater... Well, for instance, our midwife on this last birth really didn't want Wendy to push, and she didn't, you know, and she just let her body bring Giselle out, which is a foreign concept because we're all taught we have to push, and that's when the screaming and the pain and everything else we see in movies happens. But her body just really birthed the baby out on its own, which a woman's body is designed to do. So to answer your question, most of the children we see have been born in hospitals. And so I think there is a lot of pushing and pulling, as you said, and that, yeah, that subluxates a child. So for us, it's probably more like 2/3 of kids that come in.
Well, and another advantage, I'm sure, with Wendy, your wife, you were able to adjust her during labor. Yeah. I was adjusted during labor both times. I've been to birth centers and home births where I've adjusted women during labor, and that certainly can make a difference for the birth outcome.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a number of ladies who've been past due, and that adjustment just kind of kicks everything into gear.
We're going to fill our practices with laboring women now after this podcast. We've had a few women in literally mid-labor have to come into the office because they will not go to the hospital before they get adjusted. It's very funny. That's cute.
Awesome.
Well, Alan, one thing that I've always really appreciated about you is you have a ability to really educate the public and your patients as to what health and healing really is about. And I'd love to leave our listeners with just one last ability to hear you talk about what the advantage is to the chiropractic lifestyle. You know, if for a family, say a family of four or five people who've never really explored chiropractic, you know, what would you say to encourage them to think of using chiropractic as a lifestyle choice?
That's a great question. You know, from, I guess the simplest motivator for a lot of people is fear. It's the families that we take care of, they simply do not get sick as often. They do not have to go to the doctor or to urgent care as frequently as families who, you know, as a typical family out there. I can't tell you how often people come in asking about this cold going around or that bug going around, and we just kind of, I don't even know what they're talking about, because our practice members really aren't coming in reporting that they're getting the flu or, you know, whatever happens to be circulating at that time. So for a family, that's priceless. You know, if you're having children sick all the time, if parents are having to spend time, you know, typically a doctor's visit isn't in a quick 5-minute affair. That can turn into a couple hours and the stress that comes along with it. So ultimately, it comes down to life, to having that power we were talking about, and having better nerve supply makes for children that are better adjusted to life, no pun intended, who develop differently. They've got more proprioception, their brains are developing in a different way because they're getting all of that proper neurological input to their brains. We know from a study out of UCLA that even translates into IQ differences in children. And then for parents as well, we touched on earlier, that nerve supply relates to everything, how the quality of sleep, and ultimately, you know, how much energy they have in the day, what kind of employer or employee they are, their income earning capacity is related to their ability to focus. You know, if somebody's coming home at the end of the day and they're exhausted when their family really needs them to have the most energy, which is so common, you know, those are the kinds of things chiropractic can help with. And the chiropractic lifestyle, I think, starts a path for families to really maximize their health. And, you know, we've just got one shot at this, is my belief, and so you really want to make the best of it and experience the most your body and your life has to offer. And I think chiropractic, by keeping that connection open, really helps to do that.
Beautifully said. I totally agree with you, and I hope that our listeners will share this message with those who have not explored the benefits of chiropractic. And minimally, you know, getting your spine checked just to see what condition it's in can be a huge step towards making better choices for your health and for your family's health. So thank you, Dr. Alan Miner out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we so appreciate you getting up so early and taking this time to be with us today.
Thank you. It was great to be with you. Thanks, guys. I got to scoot. Got to get Landon to school.
Sounds great. Take care. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.